Good morning. Welcome to the meeting of House Fisheries. This meeting will come to order at 10:04. It is Thursday, February 9th, 2017. If you have cell phones, please remember to mute them or turn them off. Thank you. Members present are Representative Eastman, Representative Tarr, Representative Ortiz. Please join us, Representative Ortiz. He is our representative from the subcommittee for the Department of Fish and Game from Finance. And we have Representative Chenault and myself, Chair Stute. The record show that Representative Newman has previously been excused. We're also joined by Kelly Burnett from the House Records, Summers Cole from the LIO, and of course, Reed Harris, my Fisheries Committee aide. Please note, at 11 o'clock, we will gavel out and begin the Department of Fish and Game House Finance Subcommittee. That meeting will be chaired by Representative Ortiz. Today, we have one bill on the agenda, House Bill 87, Conflict of Interest, Board of Fisheries, Board of Game. Presenting the bill is my staff and committee aide, Reed Harris. We also have members of the Board of Fishery, and we have the commissioner from the Department of Fish and Game, Commissioner Cotton, in attendance and available for questions. Ledge Legal is online if there are technical questions about this bill. Members have a draft of a proposed committee substitute version B in their packets. I can't read Reed's writing. Sorry. Version U in their packets. And may I have a motion to adopt the CS as a working document, please?
Madam Chair, I would move that we accept the committee substitute for House Bill 87, 30LS0376/U as a working document.
Thank you, Representative Chenault. I will object for purposes of discussion. Reed, would you please explain the changes of this bill to us?
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My apologies for my left-handedness and the poor handwriting. Version U, if I could turn the committee's attention to the summary of changes. Makes a number of changes from version A. Thank you. Makes a number of changes from version A, the original version of the bill. Section 1G eliminates reference to a number of statutes, 1605, the Fish and Game Code, 1640-261, the Saltwater Sport Fishing Operator License, 1640-271, the Saltwater Sport Fishing Guide License, Combined Guide and Operator License, 1643, Regulation of Entry into Alaska Commercial Fisheries, and 0854, Big Game Guides and Related Occupations. Version U also changes the word conflict to personal or financial interest. Conflict wasn't defined in statute. Personal and financial interests are both defined under the Ethics Act in 3952-960 for the record. And Section G also defines for the purposes of this act what an immediate family member is. The definition in Section U of this bill is, differs from what is defined in the Ethics Act, again, 3952-960. The definition in the Ethics Act includes grandparents, aunts, uncles, and parents or siblings of a person's spouse, and it was the sponsor's office's feeling that this was a rather broad definition, and we'd probably see members recused for a great number of things, and it might affect the board process. I'm sorry, you have me confused with V and U. Version U of the bill deletes Section 2, which refers to the Board of Game. The Board of Fisheries and the Board of Game were combined into Section G in the latest version of the bill, and it eliminates Sections 3 and 4, the effective dates.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Harrison. I will remove my objection if you'd like to continue with your presentation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The bill the committee has before them, Version U, updates the way the Board of Fisheries and the Board of Game are able to operate. Currently, board members who have a declared conflict of interest or a personal or familial interest, as the new bill would have it, stated need to declare that conflict to the the chair of the board as the chief ethics officer and are recused from either deliberating or voting. And this bill makes the change that allows them to still deliberate, but they cannot vote on any of the issues for which they have a declared conflict.
Thank you. Are there questions from this committee for Mr. Harris? Seeing none. Oh, Representative Eastman.
Through the chair, you mentioned that the definition was broad and might have an effect on process. Is there any particular anecdotes or study or substantive information you can provide the committee on what might be the justification for bringing this bill up? What's the harm? Is it a might or things that have actually happened that we are hoping to not have happen in the future?
Through the chair, Representative Eastman, we do have Glenn Haidt, the executive director of the Board of Fisheries, in the audience. He may be better qualified to answer that question. I do know Alaska is a small state, and you find people involved with a lot of different businesses in this state, and we don't want anyone to be able to go making decisions on either board who are involved in this business, but the feeling of the sponsor's office is a lot of expertise is lost when members have to recuse themselves from either deliberating or voting. And this bill seeks to fix that, and part of that fix was narrowing what is defined as a personal or financial interest as far as an immediate family member is concerned as well.
I'd like to take an opportunity and let the record show that Representative Christ Tompkins has joined us. Are there further questions for Mr. Harris? Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I'm just wondering, the change in the family definition, I guess because it's just specific to this particular statutory reference, it's not going to be problematic for any other places in the statute where it refers to family members.
Through the chair, Representative Tarr, thank you for the question. Yes, I should have specified this. It says, page 1, line 12, in this subsection, immediate family member means, and then it lists out what it means in this subsection. So this only applies to the Board of Fisheries and the Board of Game as this act pertains to them. It doesn't redefine what an immediate family member means in statute under the Ethics Act 960.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions? Yes.
Madam Chair, a comment if I may. We presented a bill on fisheries on Tuesday, also regarding the Board of Fisheries, and I forgot to mention that personal use fisheries is another thing that the board does manage, for the record.
Thank you. Thank you. Maybe we could have Mr. Haidt come forward and address the previous question.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Please identify yourself.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Glenn Haidt. I serve as the Executive Director with the Alaska Board of Fisheries and lead with the Board Support Section. Can I have the question again, if I may?
Well, through the chair, I was curious to know, why is this bill before us? Is it a theoretical concern that hasn't happened yet, or things have happened? To what extent have they happened? If so, can you just give us background on why we're here? Thanks.
Sure. Thank you. Madam Chair, Representative Eastman, I take a shot at that. This has long been an issue for people who have worked amongst the Board of Fisheries. There's been, from my count, going back to 1995, seven bills that sought to amend the Ethics Act for the Board of Fisheries in some way. So the attention on it has been pretty outstanding in terms of issues on process. I guess one of the best things perhaps point you to and is a product that was produced by Jim Marcotte, former executive director of the Board of Fish, when Representative Seaton had proposed a very similar bill, and you'll find it in the records, and I can get you some directions for that. But Jim spent some time going back for the last, at that point, 8 or 9 years, and sort of listing out all the ethics recusals that had occurred, for the past board meetings, just to show what was happening and how it impacted board members. Madam Chair.
I'll follow up. Along those lines, wasn't there a certain incident in this most recent Board of Fish meeting that was greatly affected the outcome due to a conflict?
Madam Chair, are we speaking of the Kodiak finfish meeting and the Bering Sea?
And Ms. Jeffries.
Thank you. Madam Chair, the most recent Kodiak finfish meeting, there was an issue before the board. It was regarding the Bering Sea tanner crab fishery, which the department had to close, and there was a proposal that would open it modestly. Board Member Jeffrey had to recuse herself, as I understand it. The reason was because while she didn't participate in the fishery, nor did her children or husband, her ex-husband did, and he was still there's money coming from him to her from some past from her previous marriage. So, Madam Chair, and because of that, the proposal did not pass.
It was a 3-3, whereas it could have gone either way. So are there any further questions? Representative Christ Tompkins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Two questions, maybe one to sort of clarify the scenario that was just spoken of, and then another, I think, sort of in the line of where Representative Eastman was going. Just to confirm my understanding, if this bill were to pass, Board Member Jeffries would have been able to speak to the issue, correct? And is the definition of immediate family member, is that statutory language in this bill? Would that have affected her ability to vote on that issue?
Through the chair. Representative Christ Tompkins, this would have changed that, because this very much narrows the definition of immediate family member quite a bit. The current act speaks to grandparents, aunts, uncles, and so what this does is it limits the immediate family member to your spouse or individual living with you. But when it talks about parent, sibling, then that's the limit of it. There has to be a financial nexus between those individuals and you. They're dependent on you. You have a business arrangement with them. So there has to be something tangible between the two. So she would have participated under this definition.
And follow-up?
Follow-up, Representative.
I have very limited knowledge comparatively with the Board of Game as opposed to the Board of Fish. And I mean, I think I have some sense of the extent of or how frequent conflicts arise on the Board of Fish. Can you speak to the knowledge you have, how frequently conflicts arise on the Board of Game with Board of Game members, and how that compares with the frequency that conflicts arise with the Board of Fish?
Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Christ Tompkins, I'll do my best. Fortunately, we have Executive Director Christy Tibbles of the Board of Game in the back of the room, so if I feel something hit the back of my head, then I'll ask her to come on up. It doesn't happen as much. Infrequently, the most that will happen tends to be with people who are active guide operators, and so that may cause it to happen, but it's infrequent. It's my understanding.
Representative Chenault.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Madam Chairman, not knowing the full extent of the conflict that the board member had at the last board meeting or at the Kodiak Finfish meeting, may I ask, was that due to a child support issue, or was that issue due to terms of a divorce that the ex-spouse had to pay the official board member X amount of money? I'm just curious where it goes. Doesn't really matter, but it just is. I'm interested to try to figure out how far we're dissecting the line.
Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Chenault, I do not know exactly what it was. I do have, I believe Seth Bosang with the Department of Law is online, and he's involved in those conversations with the board members, and if he is available, he might be able to specifically answer that question.
If he is, Madam Chairman, if he could maybe enlighten me a little bit on it. I'm just curious as to, like I said, how far you dissect that line as far as child support or alimony or some other monetary issue there that would stop one of these members or not allow them to vote during a board meeting.
Mr. Bosang, are you available?
Madam Chair, I am. And Yeah, I'm just going to have to offer my sincere apologies to the questioner, because I did have conversations with Ms. Jeffrey. Unfortunately, I feel like those are probably protected by attorney-client relationship. I can just tell you what she disclosed on the record, which was that she had a financial interest with a participant in that fishery, and for that reason determined that she had a conflict. But I just feel that I really can't comment any further than that.
Could you please identify yourself, Mr. Bosang, and your affiliation?
Sure, absolutely. I apologize for not doing that. My name is Seth Bosang. I'm Assistant Attorney General for the Alaska Department of Law.
Thank you.
And thank you, Madam Chairman. Yeah, I just I figured that would be the answer, but just wanted to try to dissect that a little bit more. Thank you.
Are there any further questions for Mr. Haight? Representative Eastman.
Yes, through the chair. On that same topic of, you know, how far are we dissecting, I'm fairly new to the committee as a new legislator, and I should probably already know this, but can you just, for the record, so if a family member is participating in a personal use fishery, would that qualify under this conflict definition?
Through the chair, Representative Eastman, it fits under the definition, but it, to my knowledge, personal use fishery has never caused conflict. Subsistence activity hasn't caused that. Generally, what will cause it is a financial interest.
Okay. Yeah. Well, just kind of as a comment, then, if we're correcting and improving upon the definition, maybe we can improve it so that the definition that we end up with doesn't include something that I wouldn't think should be included, personal use fishery. Thank you.
Thank you. And I will add, earlier there was a question about, I think it was from Representative Christ Tompkins, between the Department of, or the Board of Fish and the Board of Game. They live under the same statutes. So it was just as easy to address both of them at the same time as it was individually. Are there any other questions for Mr. Haight? Seeing none, thank you. We appreciate your testimony. We have our Commissioner Fish and Game here, and I'd like to ask Commissioner Cotton up for any possible comments.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Sam Cotton, Commissioner, Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Just want to make a couple of comments on House Bill 87. Anytime you put a bill up that deals with the Board of Fisheries and the Board of Game, a lot of interest, probably a lot of new ideas, but the current version, the committee substitutes that we've looked at here, the department and the state supports the bill, understands the importance of the issue to all parties involved, feel that this is an improvement to the current system that probably unnecessarily results in recusals by board members.
Thank you, Commissioner. Are there any questions for the Commissioner? Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I'm trying to remember on a circumstance, for example, at the last meeting they were talking about where a proposal failed because it was a tie. Are there opportunities to, and at what timeline, to bring that proposal back before the board? I'm trying to remember what happens in the circumstance where the proposal is voted down, you know, potentially because of conflict. Or the other thing that I've heard is, you know, just with a small board, and this is kind of related to the bill we heard the other day, you know, if someone misses the meeting, essentially, you know, so you might, you know, your numbers get a little out of balance. People have an opportunity to bring it forward again.
Yeah, sure. Representative, generally, yes. But I probably would defer to Mr. Haight or Ms. Tibbles on the procedures involved, because I'm not sure, I don't believe it's a reconsideration, but generally the boards can generate proposals at their will. They typically try to do it within cycle, but generally speaking, the answer is yes.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any further questions? I'd like to take this moment to recognize Representative Fansler, who joined us about 15 minutes ago. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I guess this is relates to a comment that Mr. Haight made, that this idea has surfaced in the past. For instance, Representative Seaton years ago had a similar bill, and I've heard of other pieces of legislation. Can you speak to without being, I suppose, without having to be too candid, reasons these past legislative efforts have failed or what concerns have arisen in response to this idea?
Bless you.
Madam Chair, I'm not able to. It's a, again, it's a pretty inviting subject for competing ideas, so that's at least possible in terms of an answer. But I don't know why they weren't successful in their efforts to get legislation through.
I might add, it would probably be difficult to make a comment when he doesn't have the particular bills in front of him to maybe make a comparison to as well.
Noted. No, thanks for the answer, although I know the commissioner has a lot of institutional knowledge and memory, but I appreciate the answer.
Thank you. Are there further questions for the commissioner? Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you. We appreciate it. And maybe this would be the appropriate time to ask Ms. Tibbles to come up to address any further questions this committee might have in relation to the Board of Fish. If you'd identify yourself and your affiliation for the record, please.
Yes. Good morning. My name is Christy Tibbles, and I'm the Executive Director for the Board of Game, and I work for the Department of Fish and Game.
Do we have questions? Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I thought it might be helpful just to hear a little more on the kind of conflicts. I'm aware, because of bills we've heard in resources, about the potential with guides, and just thinking that makes a lot of sense, you know, if you're talking about allocation or, you know, availability for someone who's going to make money as a guide. What are some of the other circumstances, and how far would that reach be? For example, if you owned a remote site, you know, had a remote facility of some kind where, you know, it was a fly-in camp, for example, and, you know, would that be considered, you know, a conflict? And just a little more about that.
Sure, I'll do my best. I would say, well, first, the question was asked about the amount for Board of Game versus Board of Fisheries, and it is significantly less. We do have a member on the board who is a big game guide, and so when there are proposals before the board that address hunting for a species that he guides for and in an area he guides for, he will disclose that he has a potential conflict with that, or that he indeed does have a conflict with that, and then will be recused by determination by the chair of the board. Otherwise, I'm not thinking of many financial conflicts. We've seen some personal conflicts where a spouse's member may be part of an organization or an employee for an organization that has strong input on a particular proposal before the Board of Game. And then it depends to what position they serve for that organization. So we've seen that type of conflict. And we actually, I can remember one instance where a board member's spouse had served on one of our Fish and Game Advisory Committees. And that advisory committee had taken an interest or had taken a vote on a proposal. And so the board member disclosed that as a personal conflict and stepped aside from, or was recused from, deliberating on the proposal. In regards to the example you've given, I think that certainly there's potential for a financial conflict, maybe personal conflict, if there was a proposal before the Board of Game that was impacting that lodge owner.
Follow up.
And so I'm just thinking, say you've got the Alaska Resident Hunters Association, that's a more recent group. I don't think they have any paid staff. That would be different than, say, Mr. Arno, who has been, I believe, a paid executive director for the Alaska Outdoor Council. So those would be circumstances where you differentiate that particular individual's paid by an organization versus, you know, being a volunteer board member or just a member of an organization. Is that accurate characterization?
Correct, but also if a board member has a position as an officer on an organization.
Okay.
I've seen that for conflicting board members out, whereas just a general membership. Like often the Board of Game members will disclose they have memberships with AOC or NRA or, you know, different things that a wide variety, a lot of people have memberships with, and so that doesn't rise to the level of conflicting them out.
Okay.
Thank you. Are there further questions? Representative Eastman.
Yes, through the chair. You know, for the record, can you take, how many members are there on the board currently?
Currently, there are 7 members on the Board of Game.
Follow up. Through the chair. Now, we have a similar number of members on our committee here. Can you tell me, from the perspective of your experience with the board, what would the downside be if the board were to operate under rules similar to the way this committee operates, in that you currently disclose a conflict, but you are not prevented from voting?
Not prevented from voting. Well, the 7 members of the board, a majority to take action on anything before them, so there's a potential that something carries or fails that wouldn't have otherwise had that action.
Thank you. Any further questions? Seeing none, Ms. Tibbles, thank you. I will now open up public testimony. And
well, they just popped up in the last. Okay.
We will start with in-house public testimony. And I see Clay Copeland. Mr. Copeland, if you'd like to come forward, state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Thank you, Chairman Stutz. Clay Copeland, Mayor of Cordova. And I would like to speak in favor of this bill. Cordova averages the 13th largest seafood delivery port in the United States. We average $58 million of product across the dock, and that is just Cordova. There's also Valdez, is a significant and growing seafood processing community, and there's direct marketing and smaller seafood processing in Prince William Sound. So it's an important annual industry, and that all happens in 3 months. There are opportunities for other fisheries in the region, but that requires good communication. The biologists in the department need to be able to assess that resource. So the important element of this bill is communication. And Representative Eastman's question about what is the harm, and as mayor, I put a significant effort into trying to find a regional representative from Valdez or Cordova to express interest in sitting on the Board of Fish, because we haven't had a chair from the or a representative from the region in about 30 years now. And besides the time commitment that's involved, most of the economy is related to fishing, and it's hard to find a representative willing to make that kind of a commitment when they know that they're not going to have a voice, much less a vote at the table. So I wasn't successful in those efforts, and that's one of the greatest harms, because it's what I call checking the humble list. The people that are closest to the front lines, the biologists, department's biologists in the local offices, the fishermen that are putting the lines or the nets or the pots in the water, are closest to the resource, and to the extent that we can improve the dialogue between them and the department, I think the better opportunities we have forward to be more economical in the way we assess the resource, and instead of erring on the side of conservatism because we don't have good data, we can start being stop missing some of the opportunities that are out there, because we don't have $100,000 to throw at a test fishery for every single resource. We have almost 20 fisheries that we've had in the past in Prince William Sound that we don't have now, and the biggest barrier is the data. So we need those voices at the table. And this last year, we had what I felt was a very successful dialogue with the help of Representative Stutz and Commissioner Cotton with the governor's office to look at a tanner crab fishery. And we finally got away from a trawl fishery and tried pots. We felt like it was a big step forward in opening up some communication. And the thing that really jumped out at me is how many misconceptions there were between 4 layers up in the department of what was happening with the biology and the resource, and what the local department staff and the fishermen actually were seeing out on the water. So I hope we can keep moving in that direction, and would encourage you to move this bill forward.
Thank you, Mr. Copeland. Are there questions for Mr. Copeland? Seeing none, we appreciate your testimony. Okay. Thank you. We will now go to LIO testimony. We have Matt Allward in Homer. Matt?
Madam Chair. For the record, I'm Matt Allward from Homer. I'm a commercial fisherman. I support House Bill 87 to amend the conflict of interest rules on the Board of Fisheries and Game. We ask the working people with knowledge and experience in different professions to join the board, giving over a month a year of their time. If they have an aunt or grandpa involved in a fishery that has a proposal, they are asked to sit in the audience and not participate at all. Board members go through an extreme vetting process and I believe have very high integrity and morals. To change the conflict standards to immediate family, I feel is both reasonable and responsible. If a board member is conflicted, I agree that they should not have a vote, but to bar them from the conversation is going too far. These are the subject matter experts, and they should be allowed to partake in the discussion. In closing, I want to thank the Madam Chair for introducing this bill that I will believe will enrich our board process and bring better regulation oversight to our great state. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Albert. Are there questions for Mr. Albert? Seeing none, thank you again. We will go to Malcolm Milne in Homer. Please identify yourself and your affiliation for the record.
Okay, thank you, and good morning, Madam Chair and members of the House Fisheries Committee. My name is Malcolm Milne, and I am the president of the North Pacific Fisheries Association. NPFA is a commercial fishing industry group based in Homer, Alaska. We have approximately 60 members who participate in state and federal fisheries from southeast to way out west. Founded in 1955, NPFA members have participated in the Board of Fisheries process since its inception. We also have many members who are avid hunters and participate in the Board of Game process. Our Board of Directors has voted to support House Bill 87, and we appreciate your consideration. As you all are aware, while Alaska is a vast state, our population is small, and when you narrow things to fisheries matters or game matters, the circles become even smaller. Finding qualified members to serve on state boards can be challenging, and limiting their participation, as the current rules do, can hamper information. Allowing conflicted board members to deliberate only adds expertise to the matters and can make for a more robust conversation and better decision-making. In our opinion, keeping the conflict to immediate family members as presented in this bill is appropriate. Again, we support this bill. We appreciate its introduction, and we thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Are there questions? Seeing none, thank you. We appreciate your testimony. We will now go to Nanilchik, John McCombs. Mr. McCombs, if you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
My name is John McCombs. Can you hear me now?
We can hear you clearly.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chairman. My name is John McCombs. I live in Nanilchik and have traveled to board meetings since 1984. House Bill 87 is a good start. Since some board members have attended the Kenai Classic and received gifts, I'd like to see a list of those recipients and the gifts and the dollar value of those gifts. I'd like to see a dollar limit on those gifts consistent with statute law. And finally, a board member excused or recused if said amount is exceeded. Since the Board of Fish has shunned Soldotna for 17 years, I must suggest the board at least meet here on a rotational basis. Finally, passing a board-generated proposal the last 2 hours of a two-week-long meeting, 2014. Unpublished in the proposal book is not really part of a public process and does not build trust in the community. Those are some of my thoughts, and I appreciate this time and allowing me to testify. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McCombs. Questions? Seeing none, we will go to Steve Bannock, also in Nanilchik. Mr. Bannock, if you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Yeah, this is Steve Bannock. Do you hear me?
We hear you clearly.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chairman. Thank you for allowing me to testify. Yes, I'm testifying for myself. I've been a commercial fisherman in Cook Inlet.
Could you speak just a little bit louder, Mr. Bannock, please?
Yes, I can. I've been a commercial fisherman in Cook Inlet for over 50 years. And my feelings are if you're going to have a layman board like we have, then we need to be able to have all those layman people on the board participate in the deliberation and voting. And if you decide not the voting, well, at least the deliberation. If you had a professional board, then I could see that maybe members would be conflicted out. But in my experience of over 40 years of attending board meetings, the so-called non-commercial fishing people never get conflicted out, whereas the commercial fishermen sometimes do. And that's not fair, and we've seen in the last few years some of these board members that have been on the Board of Fish, when they get off the Board of Fish, they're anti-commercial fishermen, and I know they were anti-commercial fishermen when they were on the board, although they were never conflicted out from voting. Whether they were lodge owners or whatever they were never conflicted out. So I support this attempt to allow these lay fishermen to at least deliberate, if not vote. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Vanek. Are there questions for this? Thank you for your testimony.
You're welcome.
I see no further testimony online. Is there anyone in the room that would like to testify? Mr. McKeown, if you would state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Jerry McKeown. I represent United Fishermen of Alaska and Cordova District Fishermen United. I guess there's been a lot said already, so I'll just lay it out this way. If I was on the Board of Fish today, I'd be conflicted out almost the whole Cordova meeting, because I have a son that fishes, I have a daughter that fishes, I have a cousin that fish. So I'd be just sitting in the audience. Even though I have 50 years experience gill netting, seining, crabbing, so I wouldn't be able to take part in the meeting at all to give any of my expertise on those fishers. I'd just be sitting in the audience. I'd get my 3 minutes like everybody else to talk. I think Howard Delo one time was conflicted out at our meeting. He had an aunt that had a set net permit that didn't fish it, and he was conflicted out on some proposals. John Jensen set out 27 proposals down here in Southeast, and so on as you go through it. But if I had an interest with my son in a fishery and he was living with me, then that'd be a direct conflict. I mean, it'd be monetary value back to the household. So I think just loosening this up, ever since the Ethics Act came in, it caused a problem for smaller boards like this. Not necessarily everything, but I think they should be able to deliberate anyway if there is a conflict. And I think the board should be able to vote, which is the same, because before, the chairman was the main guy that declared the conflict and ruled on it. I think the board should be able to look at it and be able to vote. So we're in support of the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. McKeown. Are there questions for Mr. McKeown? Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. In the circumstances, and just kind of thinking this through, so that this bill passes, it changes, there'd still be, if a board member was perceived as having done something improper or, you know, was in some kind of gray area, there'd still be a process to challenge that through the Ethics Act, I believe. I just want to confirm that, and I guess, you know, I'm just wondering, in your circumstance, you know, having a lot of knowledge, in you saying the board should be able to vote on it, do you feel confident that if there was an individual, sometimes there's just a bad actor, there was an individual who behaved improperly, that the board would recognize that and, you know, take appropriate action?
Through the chair, Representative, the way it works is, you know, somebody can file with the chairman that there's a ethics problem with a particular person on a vote from the public, or the chairman could bring it up, or any board member could bring up a challenge on whether they could vote on a particular proposals or a string of proposals. So that could be brought up. Usually you disclose at the beginning of the meeting. I think Glenn, usually they have all their financial, everything laid out at the beginning of the meeting. But there can be challenges along the way. It can happen in the middle of the meeting that somebody finds out somebody's processing fish, for example. They could file and say, we think this is an ethics, and then they'd have to rule on it.
Mm-hmm. Thank
so
you.
There is a process that they do now. It's just that the process is up to the chairman.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Tarr, did that answer your question?
It did. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any further questions? Representative Chenault.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Madam Chairman, you got a legal services memorandum from them. And also, while we're on the conflicts, they asked the question in here, who will be determining the conflict? If a conflict exists under this bill, and I'd maybe like to get an answer to that, would that be the chairman? Would that be who in the organization would determine whether there actually was a conflict that existed?
The way this bill is written currently, it's up to the chairman to determine that. Under this bill, it will take the chairman and a vote of. Oh, it's still the chair. We didn't change that? Oh, okay. Still the chairman.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any further questions? Oh, Representative Fanser, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through the chair, you mentioned that you thought this was particularly applicable because I think you used the word this is a small board. There's also another House bill out there that's looking to possibly expand the size of at least the Fisheries Board from 7 to 9. If that were to go through, would that change your opinion in any way on this, or would it, if this were to go through, would it change your opinion on going from 7 to 9, since they are interrelated?
Through the chair, that's a good question. Right now, United Fishermen of Alaska will have a meeting in February, but from who I heard from different groups, they're not for expanding the board until we get this conflict of interest solved, because it doesn't really, they don't feel it would do us any good to just add two more members, which adds more money, which possibly could add 3 or 4 more days to meetings, which you got to pay for to stay at. So I think there's a couple things that we're talking about before we would talk about expanding the board, and this is one of them that would broaden the people that could possibly put their name in. This financial disclosure and being conflicted out prohibits a lot of people, from good candidates, from putting their name in. 80% of the time or a little bit more, it normally happens with a commercial fisherman. It has happened with a lodge owner and others, rarely when it's brought up. But I think Sue Jeffries had 100 pounds of IFQ in Prince William Sound. The chairman ruled that wasn't enough. She was going to run from Kodiak and your skiff to get 100 pounds of IFQ. So it all depends on what's going on. But I think it prohibits a lot of good people from putting their name in. Because like myself, I testified, Madam Chair, that, I'd be just sitting, I would good when I'd be on the board for my groups. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't even talk. So I could talk for the rest of the state, but I wouldn't do my group any good in Prince William Sound.
Thank you. Further questions for Mr. McCune? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. McCune. Is there anyone else wishing to testify? Please come forward and put yourself on record, please. Name and affiliation.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, committee members. My name is Rod Arno, and I'm the executive director of the Alaska Outdoor Council. That's made up of about 48 clubs across the state and a membership of about 10,000 people. Personally, I've, for the last 3.5 decades, have attended quite a few Board of Game and Board of Fish meetings. I think as far as AOC's membership, right now the way this bill is written, we do not support it. That the most important thing for our membership is the credibility of the process. And though we've had numerous scrimmages on both boards, I think that credibility is still intact. And I personally have yet to had a... to have been involved in either of the board processes where the individual who could have been or was conflicted out still did not get to have their opinion aired. So there's plenty of opportunity. There's quite a difference between the Board of Game and the Board of Fisheries. The Board of Fisheries would break into committees, and there was more time for dialogue. You always have time to talk to the setting board members, whether they've been conflicted out or not. You know, I realize that what is in statute as far as being able to advise, you know, clearly that is something that we were always concerned with, but I never saw, you know, or anybody, you know, filed about that being an issue. On the Board of Game, when a board member was conflicted out, numerous times that the chairman would allow them to sit at the testifying table and go ahead and testify. So their input, you know, was still in the process. And those people who continually, like myself, who's paid to go to both of the boards and to shepherd through proposals or try to get something, you know who to talk to. And that influence is even going to be felt on those board members who don't get to vote. So the idea that this bill changes it to where the person could participate in the deliberations, we don't feel is necessary for the well-being of the resource or the public. Thank you for that.
Any other questions? Representative Christ Tompkins.
Thank you. Maybe a couple of questions. You mentioned that board members are able to testify at the table, and that's maybe one of the ways in which they're still able to participate or contribute to the dialogue, even if they're conflicted and presently required not to officially participate in the dialogue. To what extent are they able to testify at the table from what you've seen? Is it more than the 3 minutes that Mr. McCune just mentioned, or are they treated like any other member of the public?
Through the chair, Representative Thompson. In my experience, particularly on the board, there was the Board of Game, there was no limitation to how long that they testified.
Follow up.
How
about the Board of Fish?
No, I haven't seen it on the Board of Fish. And the difference there, you know, just is the committee process being so different that was when there was more time for input from individuals on the Board of Fish who were conflicted out.
One more follow-up, Madam Chair.
Follow-up, Representative.
Mr. Arnold, would your perspective or stance on the legislation change if it, for instance, only applied to the Board of Fish and did not affect the process with the Board of Game?
Through the chair, I get, you know, the concern is the same. You know, I think that the standard, you know, the public that we represent, they're leery anyway of the regulatory process and anything, you know, that would kind of fudge it around the sides of the conflict, you know, would be hard on the public, I believe.
One last follow-up,
Representative Christ Tompkins.
And I'm interested, you know, given the scenario that was described, and I gather it's not, with Ms. Jeffrey having a ex-spouse who participated in a fishery, and there's some seemingly indirect financial relationship, and it seems like those kinds of instances are not infrequent, at least with the Board of Fish. But given the scenario with Ms. Jeffrey as described, do you see that if she were allowed to participate, that would cloud the process or constitute impair public faith in the process?
Through the chair. Yes, I believe it would cloud the process. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions? Seeing none, we thank you for your testimony. Is there any other testimony from the audience, please? Come forward, state your name for the record, and if you could keep your testimony to 3 minutes or less, just due to the time restraints.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Richie Davis, representing Seafood Producers Cooperative. I wasn't on your list of testifiers here, but I think I should take this opportunity, A, to thank you for sponsoring this piece of legislation. It's been something that the members of our association have sought for over two decades, closer to three now. Our fishermen fish statewide, are involved in a number of fisheries that take them outside of the southeast community and into other areas of Alaska. And when the Board of Fish meets, we have people from our association who have economic ties to the fisheries in this state traveling to whatever and wherever the Board of Fish meetings are to make testimony and try to get their influence adjusted to whatever changes are forthcoming out of the Board of Fish process. It is nice to conceive that maybe one day we can stand shoulder to shoulder and eye to eye under the same code of ethics, or at least the same restrictions and compliance that others in the state have to adhere to. It makes it very difficult, as others have spoken to you previously, to find qualified, dedicated, and energetic candidates for the Board of Fish process out of the sphere of knowledgeable people that are in the commercial fisheries to be willing to accept an appointment and service to the Board of Fish. We are going to draft a comment from SPC on the proper letterhead stationery to each of the members of this community, encouraging you to continue to try to pass this piece of legislation that we believe and have for years that it's an essential component of what would make Alaska a much better place to continue management and responsible management of our fish and game resources. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for keeping your testimony to a minimum. Are there questions? Seeing none, we appreciate it. Is there anyone else here that would like to testify? Seeing none, I will now close public testimony. This brings House Bill 87 back before the committee for discussion. Are there any further questions for the sponsor?
I have a comment, Madam Chair.
Representative Christ-Tompkins.
I was just going to say, having had the opportunity to hear another conflict of interest legislation recently, it's interesting to remark to compare and contrast. And I mean, given the information available, this seems like a relatively common, well, it seems to be a kind of a common sense improvement. But I'm especially given the scenario that was described earlier, and I've heard sort of from others that these very, very sort of faint and indirect relationships seem to impair participation in a way that maybe harms the overall dialogue.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative. Any further comments or discussion from this committee? Seeing none, Representative Eastman?
Yes, through the chair. I was wondering if the Department of Law is still available. I had a question for them.
Mr. Bosang, are you still available?
Madam Chairwoman, yes, I am. This is Seth Bosang.
Thank you.
Through the chair, the portion of this bill that mentions a personal or financial interest stood out to me. In your opinion, could a member or a family member who was active participant or worked with a nonprofit advocating for personal use fisheries be caught up in this new language?
Through the chair, the terms personal and financial interest exist in the Ethic Act already and are defined terms, and it would probably, the question would be whether it would be a personal interest. It's hard to see how involvement in a personal use fishery could involve a financial interest. In my time representing the board, I have not seen an issue with a conflict arising because of participation in a personal use fishery, even though board members disclose that they do participate in personal use fisheries. It just has not ever reached the level of a conflict, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Bosang. Any further questions or comments? Thank you. Seeing none, I will hold House Bill 87 in committee until a later date. And seeing no further business to come before this committee, we will adjourn at 10:58. Please.